Wow, it is so great to see everybody, and thank you for being all of our online family. We're glad that you're here. Last week we were in a tent, and now we're in the sanctuary. It's so great. Thank you for continuing to just be flexible. And we are one church family that speaks at least two languages. Today we're speaking in three languages between Spanish, English, and sign language. We're so excited for that. Amen. And we're a family that speaks at least two languages, embraces at least three cultures, and celebrates four generations, all for the glory of Jesus Christ. And so wherever you are in that mix, welcome to your family, and we're glad that you're here. We do want to say a special welcome to all of our guests, our first-time guests. Welcome to our home, and we just pray that you're going to feel the Spirit of God and His peace in your life as you're here today, everybody online as well. And obviously, there's been a lot of changes in gathering according to the COVID guidelines over the past week or so, and we know there's some more news coming probably another week. So if you're part of the church family, we are sending you, or if you're on our email list in any way, we are sending you a survey today. You'll get it after church via email. And we're asking you to fill that out as we try to gather as much information from all of you about your needs in the midst of a very diverse family and diverse needs when it comes to the COVID guidelines. So our first service is mask only, so we can provide that for those who need that expression of our worship time. And then we have these two services with either mask or no mask according to the guidelines. So we're glad that you're with us, and please take time to fill out that survey. We know next week they're probably distancing guidelines are probably about to change for us as well. So we appreciate your flexibility as each week we're kind of pivoting and changing according to the needs. But please fill out that survey, and if you're not on our email list, if you will just take some time, we'll show it to you a little later, the connection card, put your email down there so we can get you into the conversation. We always want to take a few moments to remember our worship in our giving, and so we're going to take a moment. A lot of us now do that online, but we also know you can just pick up your camera app, put it on that, it'll show you the link to give, as well as you can give physically by taking any gifts you have or offerings and put it in the black boxes in the back. So even though many of us do that online, we do want to take a moment to remember that it's an act of worship. The Bible says that Jesus said in Matthew 6 that no one can serve two masters. They can't serve money and God. And so our act of our tithes and our offering is our act of worship that always declares that God is first. And we're grateful for all He provides. So let's take a moment to pray and just give this act of worship, whether it's happening online or you're going to give it at the end of service. Lord Jesus, we thank you for how you are faithful. And you are our God. You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And our gifts online or in person today of our tithes and our offerings are our remembrance and our act of worship that you are faithful. And Lord, even in the midst of some of the financial or physical needs we have, we remember that, Lord, you will provide and your grace is great. So thank you, Father, for all you have provided for us this week. Lord, in the moment of this prayer, we remember the needy, the poor, the hurting, those around us in our community and our nation that don't have. We ask that you would use our lives and our church to be faithful servants and stewards of what you've given us to meet the needs of our community. And Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, our mission statement at the church, and I'm Pastor Sean, the lead pastor, in case you're a first-time guest with us, our mission statement is following Jesus together. And you can't follow someone in the physical without taking steps, because that's how you keep up. And so we're always, in every service, going to remind you of next steps you can take. Next Sunday, we have people who are taking the step of water baptism for the first time. Praise the Lord, right? What Jesus has called us to do, we're going to get to celebrate with several of our church family members. So we want to encourage, there'll be water baptisms in second and third, maybe first as well. We want to encourage you to come bring friends who need to hear the testimonies and the life-changing experience. If you are a person who needs to take that step of water baptism, we want to encourage you again, if you take out your phone and on the QR code, just hit the link. You can sign up for that today, and we will get in touch with you, invite you to do a Bible study that's simple, and get you ready for that life-changing experience that Jesus commanded us to do in order to say the past is over and I'm beginning new with him. So we want to encourage you to be part of that. Also, the way we help everybody take a new step when they start coming to our church is keep growing. And that is the class that we have. It's going on right now that helps you understand how Cornerstone could be not just a ritual or a routine, but it's really a place where you're growing in your faith every week. And so keep growing is the way that we start you on that. You can understand who you are in your story and what we have that can help you in your discipleship. Want to encourage you to do that as well. I'm also this Wednesday night at 7 p.m., we're doing another membership class. We had one in person this past Wednesday. It was really, really powerful. And what we do at Cornerstone is we say, look, membership is not a formality. It's a step of deeper relationship to understand how God wants family to become. So we know that we're a church family that's imperfect, but we are believing Jesus as we follow together. We're rediscovering what family should be together, what community should be. So if you want to do that, make sure that you hit the QR code for the connection card. I'll bring that at the end for you, at the end of service, because that's a Zoom link for this Wednesday night. Everybody online can be part of that as well. Well, today in our faith tradition is the celebration of Pentecost Sunday, the day we remember that the Spirit came, began the church, and began to give us what Jesus promised he would give us, the power and his presence in every moment of life. And so I want to show you a scripture that reminds us that part of being open to the Spirit of God is the gift of prophecy. So if we could put that scripture up, it's 1 Thessalonians 5:19-22. It says, look, do not quench the Spirit. And that's the idea of like, don't have a negative standoffish attitude. Be open and ready to do what? To hear from God. And the work of prophecy is the work when the Lord uses somebody by his Spirit to speak a word that increases your faith and draws you to greater closeness with Jesus himself. And today we have a servant of the Lord who is someone who God uses in this area. And so on Pentecost Sunday, it's our joy to have Jay and Linda LaRue with us. They are longtime church family and friends. And Jay has that gift. He is a deep studier of the Word of God, has his doctorate in the Word of God, and also is just hungry for God's people to know God's presence and hear God's Word. So today, you're going to hear it as he shares. He's a little bit of a small personality, so you may need to encourage him to open up. Okay, you know I'm being sarcastic if you've ever heard Jay, okay? And we're going to enjoy that, but I want to encourage you too that at the end of service, there may be a call where he begins to speak God's word over lives. We're going to have him tonight at 6 p.m., men, 7 p.m. tomorrow night, everybody tonight. But we begin hearing from the word. He's got an incredible word that where God is definitely speaking to the hearts of his people. Would you welcome Jay LaRue as he comes?
It doesn't get old, does it? How about your pastor? Amen. Isn't he great? Yeah, I love him. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it is great to have been here in now these two services, and so appreciate you being here. I'm going to do my best to not talk too fast. That's probably as slow as I'll ever get in my lifetime right there. Yeah, it is great. I mean, such an honor and privilege. I didn't get a chance to say that in the second service I did in the first. It really is for Linda and I. You know, obviously, it's fun when I'm wherever we are. You know, we're somewhere 52 weeks a year, pretty much, which I love. You know, the more church I get, the more I like it. And so it's a privilege and honor to be loved and having, you know, people look forward to us coming. But for us, it's our honor and our privilege that we get to come, to be a part, especially here. I was asked this morning when the first time we came, I guess it's, I'd have to look back in my, I have a file of notes, like probably like, maybe like that, of the very first times we were here. And I think it was 2005-ish, right in there, 2006 at least, that would be, so I think 15 or 16 years now, right? So it's great. Some people say I haven't aged at all, but I don't know if that's so true. I think they're just trying to get me to notice them. No, I'm just teasing. No, that's not real. I want to encourage us this morning, and those of us, those of you who are watching online, it's such an honor and privilege for us to have you. I do want to encourage you, if you haven't had an opportunity to see the sanctuary, be a part of this, please come out, especially tonight. If you haven't been able to come out, maybe this evening, I'm going to really share something incredibly. I love the portion of it, though, on just on hope for us. And the men on Friday, on Monday night, I mean, it's a. We're going to have a tremendous time. We always do. It's great. So if you're able to come and you can set that time apart, we absolutely would love to have you part with us. And we'll do all the distancing and everything. But there's just something about being around the people and being around in the house of God that's unique in itself. And so we do appreciate you, you know, tuning in like this. And, of course, you being here. This is my wife right here. I'm going to have her stand up because, yeah, yep. I said in the second service, she's still kind of. Try to do that one. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Did I say how honored I was to be here this morning? Yes? Got that? Great. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's always imperative when the New Testament is quoting from the Old, when a writer draws a portion of Scripture out. I've always loved that the basic term would be hermeneutics or biblical hermeneutics. It's a science of interpretation. It's always important to go back. When I see that, I go like this because that excites me. I want to know what they're saying, why they're saying it. And this morning, we're going to do that, and even tonight in another place, to see these verses, and these are absolutely incredible verses. Go to the original text. I want to talk about that a little bit, then we'll come back here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Old King James. I appreciate Steve digging that out of the archives for me. Verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that came to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a, love the word, mystery. There's yet a hidden purpose even in the present scripture. Even the hidden, that which is concealed or secret, which God hath ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, that was the princes that were living that day and the princes that were in the invisible, both areas, if they would have known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9, beautiful word. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered the heart of man, any man, including me, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath and continues to reveal them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Isaiah chapter 63. Two verses in the third chapter, then we'll look at four in chapter 64. All of this is really almost one full text. Verse 15, the prophets, look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and thy glory. Where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and thy mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, our Father, our Redeemer, thy name is from everlasting. Chapter 64, verse 1. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causes the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst, King James is terrible. It really means it was amazing, wow, but joy. It's like, what? When you did something that we were not looking for, we looked not for it, thou camest down and the mountains flowed down at thy presence. Here's the quote from the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor even perceived by the ear, neither hath I seen, O God, beside thee, what thou hast prepared for him that waiteth for him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for, again, as I've said, and you know this, it's not redundancy, it's true. We remain honored, Linda and I, and privileged to be a part of Cornerstone, the Franco family, this team, even Travis, Pastor Travis and Brandon, the ones who have gone out, and even Pastor Wayne, Dr. Wayne McCary, what an honor it's been to be a part of these great people, this great church. Lord, we're in a moment of time that it is a day to re-embrace you, to believe you, to once again look unto you. Lord, this morning, let the revelation of Jesus Christ be ours, the revelation of the kingdom of God and your passion for the restoration of your ultimate intention. It was to never leave us without everything you promised and have declared. I believe that. But this morning, do something in all of our hearts, including mine, that hope will awaken and arise. Faith will arise. Faith will grow. We'll dream again. We'll believe again. We'll hope again in an unprecedented way, more than we did in any other day of our life. That I'm believing for. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Incredible moment. It's 712 BC. It's going to be important for us. The prophet Isaiah is without question the most prolific messianic prophet. The words he shares and the things that he spoke in this prophecy are just incredible. He will speak during the reigns of four kings, King Uzziah, King Jotham, King Ahaz, the worst king Israel ever had beside his grandson Manasseh, and his son Hezekiah. This is the beginning of Hezekiah's reign. He's 3 years into his reign. The prophet has seen something that he cannot believe. He will watch as 10 years earlier, the northern 10 tribes, the kingdom was split after Solomon's death. The northern 10 tribes have turned against him. You know, it's amazing to me that we have a history of him being so gracious to his people, yet they will turn from him. It still astounds me. It amazes me. Of the history that we have, it's something that's happened in many generations. And he will literally watch the great Assyrian army will move against the 10 northern tribes of Israel, and they will deport them. They were all different. The Babylonians did it one way. The Romans would always occupy. The Babylonians would change the name of their slaves. The Assyrians would literally take families away from where they were and transplant them in another place and bring other captives and put them in. The prophet Isaiah watched this 10 years earlier. He is amazed at what was happening. At the very same time, he is watching as the southern tribe begins to be worse than the northern tribe. As you read through it, his heart is broken, but he finds hope in what is being said. But here he is at this part of his life, being in the last reigns of this king. And he realizes there's no hope outside of God. But I'll tell you, I've gone through this 2020, I had a hope that a lot of things would change. I had a real anticipation that God was going to do something that was going to be unprecedented, that our entire world would be affected. This prophet, I love him, and it's become such a hope and a word for me. He knows that armies are important, and he knows that government's important. But he's at a time of his life that he realizes the only person that can change him and his people has to come from heaven. He begins looking up. I don't think it was a one-time cry. He begins with a cry and a plea. Will you look down from heaven? Will you behold from the habitation of your holiness and your glory? Where is thy zeal and thy strength? It is one of those things that he's always had where God has strengthened him even during the difficult times, during the time periods of these kings previous to King Hezekiah, who was the best king they ever had. But I hear his cry when he's weakening over what's happening and he's losing the passion he once had. Where is your bowels of mercy? Are they restrained? He's at this place where he has got to not only hear from God, but he's got to see him. He has got to know. And then he begins to even excel in this cry, which I love. And he comes to the 64th chapter. It's really one whole process. 60, 61, 62, 63, and 64. I mean, it's incredible. From a dark world that a light would come in. Speaking about Jesus coming into the earth where they were sitting around in darkness. Isaiah 61, I love. It's where the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. You know that day he walked out of that Jordan. The world would never be the same again. When that man, Jesus Christ, walked down the earth and demonstrated power that was greater than any power. He had the Spirit of God without limitation. What a moment. But Isaiah 62 comes in with this watchman's cry that God would change the world, and when a people were cold and really not there, that he would ultimately change them. The prophet knows this. He's the one writing it. Then he finally comes. He's thinking the only hope for us is we've got to have him. And his cry is, will you not rend the heavens? It is a tear it open, and that you would come down, that your presence will cause the mountains to melt, to flow down. Every mountain changes when he is there. Then I love this, that your adversaries would know your name, and that the nations of the world would tremble at your presence. What a cry. I don't think he was against the nations of the world or against the Lord's adversaries, but he knew that when God was present, not just his presence. He's got a cry here that he'll never see. The word that he uses for presence is face. He's not asking for his hand. And I want to say to you this morning in great honesty that I've been thankful for when he's put his hand in the earth and he stirred waters. I've been thankful for the rain. I've been thankful for the latter rain when it would come and when it has come in our history. But this prophet knows this isn't, rain isn't the answer, nor a latter rain, nor the hand of God, nor the blessing of God. He knows the only hope for his day is we've got to have him. I identify with this cry. I long for his adversaries to know his name. You know, when you get that name, changes everything, doesn't it? I was born his adversary, and now I have his name. I want the nations of the world to tremble, not in fear, but I want them to shake over the greatness of our God. And then I love what he says. He says, when you came down, we were not expecting that. It was beyond awesome. It was unbelievable. Man, we had terror and joy. We were like blown away and we were laughing at the same time. We didn't know how to act. I want to say something to us this morning out of the text. They had a small reformation, as would be our word, under King Hezekiah. His father, King Ahaz, the worst king, put idols in the temple, Solomon's temple. Can you imagine? And then nailed the door shut. When this young man, Hezekiah, comes, he opens up the doors, he cleans out the altar, and he even takes the brazen snake that was Moses, and he broke it in pieces so no one would follow it. It was the beginning of a restoration, but at no time did he see this. This prophet is looking ahead to another generation. to a generation that might be in their day willing to believe that God is wanting to do something that I have never seen before, never been heard of before, never perceived before, that he would do something that was in his heart from the beginning of time, that's something that he was believing, he was dreaming, something he was declaring. He is not a one generation God. From back there, he declared things that would be, that are in this Bible, yet mysterious, yet unknown, things that would cause the world to come to a place it never knew before, to do things unprecedented. Hallelujah. And then I love the Apostle Paul, which is so beautiful. He will say this. He'll say, if I could use good King James, he'll say, yo, there's only one group that regrets crucifying the Lord of glory, and that is the satanic, the demonic, the spirit of the age, and the Antichrist spirit. They're the ones who realized they made a mistake, because when they crucified him and he died and he rose and he ascended, he released something in the generations to come that would cause the world to be turned upside down. So I want to encourage you this morning. Please, let me encourage you. Don't be afraid of the raging spirit out there of Antichrist or of the spirit of this age. It is doing it because they fear what God has declared to be. We have a whole history of it. They tried to kill the Big Mo, didn't they? They tried to kill David several times. And they tried to kill the man Jesus, because they knew God was about to do something that they could do nothing about. Unprecedented. How unprecedented? Ear hath not heard of it before. Eye hath not seen it. Nor has it been perceived even in this man who dreams big dreams out of this. So I want to say, I got to try to finish this morning. I'm going to. I want to name some things that out of his ascension came to the generations, including this one. Every generation has had the opportunity, because as we know from the beginning of time, we know this, before creation visible, creation invisible, by Isaiah's word and by the Apostle Paul's word, that here they began to declare things that were yet unseen, secret, must be revealed to know them from the beginning of time. The prophet Isaiah will say it, and the Apostle Paul. So incredible that it had never been seen before or heard before, even perceived. That's how awesome our God is. That's how dreaming our God is. That's how incredibly declaring, the incredibly restorative, his intent to restore that which has been in his ultimate intention of his heart from the beginning of time is here and now. That's why, if they had known this, they would have never crucified him. I only have done three each service. I got to get these five out, okay? I have the time. You all right with that? First thing is his voice. I don't ever listen to myself speak or watch, because it's too weird. But I do enjoy speaking, as you can see, because I got this, I guess, small personality I'm glad he likes my personality. It's my character he's been dealing with. He doesn't mind this overall vessel head, you know, thing. He's pretty cool with that, because it's just kind of this love affair with us. You know, I'm just a guy in love. That's just how this is, really. But when he speaks, this is what the Bible will declare, that whose voice shook the earth. It not only by his voice did he create the earth out of nothing, but he also can recreate what has been destroyed. And his voice shakes the earth, the 12th chapter of Hebrews, and he is shaking everything at this moment. I want you to know the heavens, the earth, the dry lands, the dry seas, kings and kingdoms, everything is being shaken. It is super positive for you and I. It's positive. It is his voice. He is restoring and rebuilding everything according to his original intention. It's happening as we are living in his very day. This glitch of time in 2020 and into this year and this momentary light affliction has not changed his ultimate intention at all. He has a way of using everything. Have you noticed? Ask Joseph. Ask Jacob. Ask Abraham. Ask David. Our whole Bible declares that what anyone meant for evil, God will turn that thing around, baby, for our good. Who does such a thing? So his voice, I always want to quote one more verse to you. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 1 and 2. Listen, please. How's it go? For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. Until the righteousness goes forth as brightness, and salvation is the lamp that burneth. His voice causes things to be made right everywhere. It's what it does. It causes salvation to be encircling our earth. If there's an expectation for salvation to come to our families, it's now. All kings shall see your glory, and the Gentiles shall see your righteousness. The whole world is changing. I can't quote anymore, but it's what his voice produces. Secondly, is the kingdom of God. It was great before his ascension. He was amazing. Those disciples were unlearned men. They hardly had faith. One of them doubted all the way to the end. One of them was a thief. One apostle even professionally cursed at the end of his life. These are the men that are going to take this over. I would have been scratching my head like this going, are you sure we got the right people here? I mean, it's incredible. But in his ascension, he will give the kingdom to not just them, but to every generation that would follow. This kingdom cannot be removed. This kingdom not only costs nothing, it was bought and paid for and given to us. And when it was given to us, it made us immediate joint heirs of God with Christ. We became equal partners in a kingdom that is like no other kingdom has ever been on the face of the earth before. It is a kingdom with unlimited power, unlimited resources. It doesn't depend on Wall Street or the gold and silver. By the way, the gold and silver is his, the prophet said. All of these things are his. He freely gave it to us. It wasn't an age. I didn't have to accomplish something, get a PhD. No, the first day I got it at 22 years old, stupid Jay, who had nothing going for him, no hope, in darkness, not realizing how great the darkness was, when he translated me into that kingdom, he made me a full heir. I didn't have to fight for it. I have to buy it. I don't even have to defend it. All I got to do is be it. That came in the ascension. That the world is dying and crying for. All we've got to do is believe it. But he's come to restore the kingdom back to us again. Not Israel, the kingdom. Though I love Israel. The kingdom. Third, okay, I'm going to do just five. The other one is, are you okay? Is glory. Not the kavod of the Old Testament, that scary on Mount Sinai, shaking Mount Sinai, that even the men and women in Jericho were afraid of what he was doing because of that God and that glory. All the enemy fears the glory, always have. Even the Philistines, who feared nothing, feared the ark. They feared the glory of God. The glory of God is being returned to us. It isn't that scary, thick darkness. No, no, no. It is the beauty, the splendor, the majesty of Jesus Christ. It's the doxa. He is the splendor of his glory. He is the glory of his glory. The person of Jesus Christ. When I'm talking about the glory of God, it is the manifestation of the character and nature, as if he's standing right here, as if we're right before him. We're face to face. I'm a different man when I'm with him. If I'm not with him, I'm dumb Jay, acting like dumb Jay, being pulled by this gravitational pull, being moved around by this prince of the powers of the air. I'm just all over the place. But when I'm with him, I'm solid, I'm steady, I'm believing him, I'm humbler, and I need to be humble, humbler and willing to forgive and willing to believe the unbelievable. It's what the glory of God does. And it's supposed to fill the whole earth, not be in two places or three places somewhere in the world. It's never to be that way. He's restoring the glory. We have been living without it because it does something. Can I quote a couple of verses? Are we okay? This is fun doing it. I like talking slower. If this is slow, am I talking slow enough? Not really, huh? She's shaking her head a lot over there. Yeah, and my Latino friends love you a ton, honestly. Yeah, thank you. Let me just quote a verse. This one is beautiful. For we with open face, beholding as it were in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. See, we're supposed to be able to peer into it, see into it. Are changed to that very same image from glory to glory, as by the Spirit of the Lord. The knowledge of the glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. So in his ascension, there's a door open, and this, and amazingly, part of the inheritance of this kingdom is you and I could come to him anytime I want. This afternoon, later today, on my worst day, on my best day, I'm welcome. He doesn't read me the riot act. He doesn't discipline me. He doesn't say, I can't believe you're back here again, Jay. You did it again. I can't believe this. When are you going to change? Oh, no. He welcomes me, and it's a throne that's full of grace, full of mercy, undeserving. He gives it to me, and if I want to linger there, I can. If I want to live there, I can. If I want to wake up there, I can. It's totally open. Him who sits upon the throne is there. The heavenly worship, it's a dimension that no man could go, but he made a way for us in any generation to see him. And that Christ is the hope of glory for the world in us. I got to keep moving. This is beautiful, and you're certainly over the next few years going to hear more about it from me, especially the six books of the restoration that are in our Bible. And we have our staff meeting this week. I'm going to come from one of them. They're absolutely prophetic in every way to us at this time we're in. But it's going to be the priesthood, something that you and I were born to be. Something that when our new birth gave us a birthright to a priesthood, not an Aaron, not a Levitical one, but a Melchizedek. It's what he was. He becomes a new priest. We never even heard of him until we see him one time with Abraham, but the Hebrew writer began to speak about him. And we've been living without a priesthood in the world. It's who we are to be, a royal priesthood. Not that we're to be arrogant walking around, but there is a position that we can have. There's a believing that we can have. There's something about us. Do you know the whole outpouring of the prophet Joel? Because the priest stood between the porch and the altar and they cried out to God. It's the only reason there was an outpouring. That's how it came. But that's the position of the priest. We stand here between heaven and earth with such not only responsibility but opportunity to see our world change. The same day that Joel was there, everything was devastated. Our world is afraid right now. Do we have enough food? Do we have enough? I hear from my family members, they're really concerned. Where are we going to go? But the priest stands in the earth, and by their very presence, they change the atmosphere. They change the ground. They change the air. They change everything. There was a time that the people of God under Moses were having an issue. And so the Lord rose up a plague. It was a learning process for them. And they were afraid. And so Moses, he says, get the priest out here. And the priest stood between the plague and the people. Wow. Is this a time for the royal priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, after the order of the Son of God, Jesus being the firstborn into that priesthood, everything about him, living for intercession, a life demonstrating a father, a power unprecedented. What a time for a priesthood. Can you imagine? I've always dreamed it, that the world would be waiting outside with ambulances because they don't know, they can't heal them. They don't have an answer for them. But they heard God was that cornerstone, not only cornerstone, with Travis and with Brandon and with everybody. And they just want to know, can they bring him in there? And we say, well, we're kind of full, but you can bring him to the children's church. They'll lay hands on him. It's not an age thing, is it? So my grandson's 13, and my grandson will believe that his 65-year-old grandfather or my 13-year-old grandson, it doesn't matter. All you got to have is faith like a mustard seed, peanut. I want it to grow, but that's all it takes. See, we've been missing some things, but he's come to restore them. That's why the great fear of the enemy right now. They're afraid. We got a whole history of it. Oh, if one man's coming to restore something, the enemy, they're fine until somebody has it in their heart to see the restoration. Well, I want you to know right now, I'm not the only one. I'm in the whole church. You know why? Because I'm speaking to a people, I know this, that had been waiting for him. It isn't this kind of waiting. No, no, it's this kind of waiting. Jay, it's Monday morning. What are you doing? Are you tired, exhausted? I didn't get home until 2 o'clock in the morning. Look at my baggy eyes. I'm really tired. So what's with the attitude? Attitude? Are you kidding? I'm waiting for him. I'm waiting. Come on, I'm waiting. Yeah, but what about the news? Don't really deal with that too much. What about all your friends who've been writing all the, you know, hopelessness stuff? Don't read much of that, but I encourage them. But I got my heart here. Will you not rend the heavens? Will you not come down that we might behold your face? Last one. Thank you for being so patient. And then I want to spend a little time out here. Pastor said I can go till 12:30. Is that okay with you? No? Sure? You can leave and I won't feel bad. I might say something when you leave about you, but I won't. I wouldn't do that. No, I wouldn't do that. The last one is and I love this about, I think Pastor Sean, from the first day that we met, was there was just a thing with us that we knew that this was something that we were going to believe, and we have like a brotherhood. It's like two twined together, and that is this outpouring of the Spirit. It's been a dream of mine. That's why I've always loved prophecy. Even the first time I ever saw it, I just thought, wow, the guy on the cross speaks. That's really amazing to me. And then I realized that he wants to restore every day, month, year of our lives. All of them. He'll go back in time and restore. It was amazing to me, out of Joel 2. And then after he does the restoration, he's going to cause the wheat, the wine, and the oil to be full. We'll have Spirit unprecedented. The Word of God unprecedented. The oil is all the dimensions of the Spirit of God and that fire. He'll restore that. And after that, I'm like, sometimes I think with him, I mean, sometimes isn't that enough? You're gonna do more? Oh yeah. I'm gonna pour out my Spirit upon my son, our sons, our daughters. Wow, isn't it? The Lord has no prejudice, does he? You know, Dr. J, I don't know if women should speak. I'm glad they speak. If I had listened to men all the time, I would be quite bored. Oh, I didn't say that, did I? Except him. And your old men. I'm a little tired of the Alzheimer's and dementia and my older men who I dear love, who paid the price at the end of their life, can't think at a time of their life that I want the wisdom of God is great. The old men are going to dream dreams. Whoa, I'm not even there yet. Our young men, yo, see vision. Pastor Sean, I got a vision. Let's go with it. Let's hear it. Come on, old men. It's time to that kind of dream the dreams. Yeah. We've got to have outpouring. Yeah. It's a priestly cry. So maybe we could take, I do it every day. Maybe we could take some time during the day and say, you know what, Lord? I'm standing between the porch and the altar. I've got to cry. Spirit like people, O God, give not thine heritage to reproach. For the heathen say, where is our God? That's what they're saying. I'm believing you. Restore. Pour out your Spirit. Is it possible? Is it possible? Is it possible? I have never seen this. Is it possible? Ear has never even heard of it. Is it possible you could have something in your heart that men, their own hearts, have never even dreamed it? I want to say, in behalf of us and the cry in the earth, we believe it. Do we believe it? That's a question. Do we? Can we? Will we? I think so. I think I'm talking to people that have been waiting on him. Some of us are tired, I know. Me too. But I'm talking to, I know this though, a people who absolutely love him. That's the qualification. Who's been waiting? Anyone? For any promise at all? Jeez. Especially now. How about, is there anyone in here that just kind of got that, loves him? This is our word. That's the qualification. We certainly are without those things. And that man paid a great price. He let him come here for a great price. And out of that great price, he's come to change our world. Father, I thank you for that. And Lord, I just, again, as I've said this morning and have, that the revelation of the kingdom of God, your heart, your passion is beyond belief. May we know it intimately, personally. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You want to just give the Lord a hand for me, please? Great. Okay. Okay. Oh, oh. Is he going to wait? Is he going to wait for me?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So you're going to have to work with me. Okay. Even consider Jesus. He was already waiting and watching. Sometimes our lives are different than others. Sometimes maybe we think that, why wasn't I born here or there? Or someone else? You know, the Apostle Paul made a good statement. He said, it's just unwise to compare ourselves. I certainly have failed in that. I've compared myself. Why wasn't I born here? Why wasn't I born there? My brother, the Lord is going to begin a restoration of your life. You've had many things that have been taken away from him, from it, and many, many lonely days. But I love what I'm about to say to you. I love it. The Lord is going to give you the ability to hear him. Many people that have hearing can't hear him because the natural ear has nothing to do with it. It's a place within. And my young friend, the Lord is already causing your heart to be open to hear him and to understand him. And in the coming days, the Lord is going to work out some things financially and home life for you. And there'll be a day that the gospel of the kingdom of God will be part of your life. You'll do that and more. You'll speak the word, not just translate the word. You'll teach it, not just translate it. It's going to be a time process because he's doing some healing and restoration in your life. I spent the first 10 years forgiving people. And I spent the last 30 years doing the same thing. And so sometimes there has to be reconciliation with people who have disappointed us, hurt us. It doesn't always mean that we go back there, but there's something in our hearts that the Lord has got to clean us from any offenses, any of that kind of pain. We all have that. No man lives without an offense of someone, some way. And so it's the difficult thing is to forgive and to release and let go. But the Lord's already begun that process within your life. He didn't bring you to the kingdom because you needed it. He brought you to the kingdom because he wanted you. He wanted to begin a dream for you so that you might carry the dream to others and that others may know the dream. So you're going to have to make some decisions. Every one of us has to have a new discipline. I have to. There's always a new requirement upon me. To walk out what I understand. And there's going to be those times in your life, they're there now, that you have to make decisions that make things right. But it's okay. It's always worth it. The Lord will reward it. Sometimes this feels difficult and it feels a strain, but the Lord is very gracious at rewarding it, and he'll do that with you. So you can really trust him. So my sister here, I just want to encourage you a little bit, okay? Yep. You know, you're really a precious gal, sweet gal. You really are. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes a lot of people don't treat us that way. They don't sense us that way. My wife over there is I needed to learn a treasure. She's like a crystal goblet. I wasn't allowed to just squeeze her and throw her down on the ground or push her away or just kind of use her. That was something that I was used to. I was born, and unfortunately, a lot of men are born that way. They're just born users. That's just that, you know. I wish I could stand up sometimes and just say to all the ladies that I know, forgive us because we were born in that kind of iniquity. And sometimes some of us are hurt more in relationships because of that. And so the Lord is really, he graciously and gradually brought you into the kingdom. You're an amazingly smart girl, incredible, really gifted. And sometimes you don't see that and you don't know that as well, but you are. He's given you a great mind, a great thinking mind. But the Lord is really entering into your life in a fresh way to bring real restoration. You've been a woman who's dearly wanted and loved to be loved, cared for. You're independent, though. That doesn't mean you have to have somebody that cares for you to carry you around. You're not that way. You're very independent. But you've always loved the idea of family. And you always loved the idea of all of that that's involved. And so the Lord is really, man, I'll tell you, he's been moved by you. He has. Sometimes we don't, you know, I would often think sometimes, does he really hear me? I mean, I'm down here. He's somewhere. Oh, I don't even know where that is over there. But I realize he isn't over there. He's here. You know, he's that close, even though he's over there. And I never realized until I started to grow, and especially doing this, of just how much his ear is inclined to me. And young lady, his ear, even when I came in here and walked by you, it was so evident his ear was to your mouth that he would hear your cry. And he's sensitive to your heart that's been at times broken and at times wounded. And so he's coming to heal and make whole the heart. Sometimes it's a little bit of a process, you know, but he is to strengthen it. You know, there's times that life sometimes just brings stuff. I can't blame. Sometimes things just happen, and I got to find the Lord in it. Doesn't mean it was, who is that? I used to think, well, is it the devil? Is it my neighbor? I thought for a while my neighbor was the devil. So, you know, him. Yeah, and then the Lord had to kind of deal with me about that. He goes, by the way, I love that guy. And I said, you should rethink that. He didn't rethink that at all, no. So I'm learning, you know, it's that process. But what happens, though, is it's not so much what happened or how come. It's finding him in it. And, boy, this has been the real transition of your life. The real changing that is it possible that he could be for me as he is. So within your personal life, your family's life, you're going to see the Lord begin to bring a fresh grace. And he's just bringing a fresh oil. So you're going to see in a balm of Gilead, you're just going to see healing come to your life and to the life of your family in ways you've not known it. Where you can release some of these things and not so much blame or point or even you're very hard on yourself. As I am with me, and to be able to lay that before him and just begin to trust him in all of that. And girl, this is going to be the beginning of a fresh hope for you. This is going to be a fresh day of believing. Could he really be for me? You know, you don't have to do this, but I go home and get the Rocky theme on my Amazon thing and just kind of go around the house like this. If you want to go outside, go outside. The neighbors wouldn't think anything. I do it in the Starbucks line. I just have to because I'm just thinking, I mean, I just have to do this. I mean, we sang tonight, he reigns over the heavens and the earth. I mean, I got to do this. I mean, I'm in the Starbucks line. Okay, the guy's in 6 feet in front of me. It's no problem. So, you know, yeah. Wow, he's pretty awesome. That's right. Yeah, huh? Mm-hmm. Yo. In the gym, this works. At the Starbucks, not so much. His heart is beating in your direction. Nothing you can do or not do that would change that. So we're still okay, Pastor, about 5 more minutes? You okay? Okay. You want me to? Okay. You sure? All right. Did you say 12? Oh, I see it. 3:19. I got it. All right. Get ready. No. So you guys are, yeah. But... No, I'm good. I love, you know, there's a lot of couples in here that I love watching and seeing from a distance, but and it's been great. You guys are very special. The Lord really, really worked at getting you here, moving you from the place before to this place, because it's just something you don't do. You're very loyal, very committed to each other, to friendships. You've been raised like that, both of you, very interesting. You know, your father was that way, your grandfather was that way, your grandfather, even on your mother's side, the men, they were that way. They were committed to their word. I mean, anybody who can wear his pink has to know he's got to have it all together. There it is. Come on, that was good. Yeah, I like that, this interaction. But he really did, and he did it purposely, though. This was going to be the planting of the Lord for you guys. This was going to be the place the Lord was going to move you into the next place of involvement. He really, everything I speak here, I'm submitted to Pastor Sean, these pastors, even the young one, I'm submitted to him, which I don't mind because he's kind of cool. But that's my responsibility. But he really does. It's going to be just a new dimension of the Spirit of God within you. This word comes, though, to just have you to relook at maybe where's our future. It doesn't mean I'm talking about planning of retirement. It's not that. But especially the kingdom of God, especially involved in here. You both have this incredible hospitality, really off the charts. Your home is what the Lord has done to make a place for healing and wholeness. If I came to your house, I would feel the rest of God just there, the peace of God. It's just there. Anyone who comes in there, whether they know or not, there's just something about your home. You almost have to kick them out. They don't want to leave. They just love being there. And it's the two of you. You're beautiful. Her in the kitchen, you in the living room. Sometimes both of you in the kitchen, both in the living room. It's all this whole dimension. So it's in this place he wants to use the two of you in broken marriages, young marriages, married people, widowers, older than you too. This is very odd. Younger generation of married, but also older that are widowed, widowers. We're going to have them come in the church, men and women who have lost their wives, their husbands, that are going to be broken. They're going to need family. And the Lord has really built the two of you. You'll even financially invest in them. That's why he's financially invested in the two of you, because he knows that you'll give that way in every possible way. And so the blessing of God is going to increase upon you, your family, both of your families, the ones that you love. It's just that he's commanding the blessing to come to your home, to your lives, but it is for the reason of giving it out again. That's why you fit so perfectly in here. He could say to you, listen, I just met a guy at the gym. You know, we just talked a little bit, or I met him over here. How about just maybe going out with him? How about having him over? Would you be willing to do that? And you'd be the perfect, trustworthy. You'll never shove the gospel down their throats. You'll by tender, loving care, is the way you both are built, and that those individuals will become incredibly kingdom out of your lives, and will begin to be people. You'll start building a team of the same kind of thing as part of the healing process that we're talking about in the last service of the prophetic word. And the Lord's going to raise up these couples in this church that so they don't have to be even, no offices here, just in their homes. And people will come to the homes, and right there in that home, there'll be the miraculous will take place, healing, their lives will be healed, their families will be restored, and then they will become restorers. It's just going to be this continuous thing that the Lord's doing in your life. The places you were at before, they just didn't recognize what God was doing. And you would never trumpet your own cause, never trumpet it. But here the Lord is trumpeting it. He's declaring it. And you will never go up to see him later and say, did you hear that? It's about time. Do you even know our names? No, you would never do that. That's why I could say this to you. But you want to just be willing vessels. Whatever the Lord is asking or wanting, you're in. It's beautiful.